The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Support for the Cannon Fire podcast is brought to you by our good friends over at betonline.ag. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. And of course, they've always got the online casino, which never closes. So head over to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Once again, BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert.
This is the Big Nasty. Yeah, Big Nasty. Hall of Fame Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan, baby.
This is Mike Allstott, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to the Cannon Fire Podcast.
Cannon Fire Podcast, brother. You ain't listening, and you're missing out. Woo!
Edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast live on YouTube today for episode 203. It is our week 2 game preview, the first division game of the year for Tampa Bay. We see the Atlanta Falcons coming off of a 32-6 loss. Well, they're coming to Ray J, so hopefully the Buccaneers are ready. We're going to break down that game top to bottom here shortly, but welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, as always, Rhett Matthew. Joined alongside me, as always, my good buddy and co-host, the Philly Bucks fan himself, Mr. Evan Wanish. How you doing today, my friend? Happy Thursday.
Yeah, it is Thursday. Almost at the end of the week. We're almost there. So, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I won't lie to you. I am dog tired from work. I'm sure I've mentioned it on the podcast before this point, but for those who don't know, I started a new job recently, and I'm basically just, you know, a delivery driver. But holy hell, it is not as easy as I remember it being when I did it previously. So, you know, we're kind of working around the new schedule. Some days are harder than others, but we're getting through it because that's what champions do, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, right now, checking out our YouTube chat, James is in the chat, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
Cartier Walker is in the chat also. What's up, man? If you guys are in the chat, let us know. I know this is a little we said we were going to do it Thursday, Friday. Didn't really say a time. So if you guys are tuning in right now, thank you a lot. And we're going to have a great show.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get rolling over the course of the stream. I feel like when we usually do these unannounced game previews or just any live stream in general, over the first 5, 10, 15 minutes, people start to flood in here, and that's what we like to see, right? So glad to have you guys here as part of our live YouTube audience checking in. Subscribe to the channel if you have not already. Plenty of great Buccaneers content throughout the course of the season. So this Sunday's matchup, September 19th, 4:05 p.m. kickoff. It's going to be on Fox, so maybe we have a chance of Chris Myers calling it. Nothing confirmed yet, but would love to hear Chris Myers early on in the season, because we had to wait all the way till week 17 last year to hear him call a Bucs game. We did get the preseason action, though. But, first division game of the year for Tampa Bay. Like I mentioned before, Atlanta coming in off of that ugly 32-6 loss against Philly. And I'll say this, let's jump right into it. As far as Atlanta's concerned, they just lost 32-6 last week. Seasons are not defined by week 1, but if there's one thing that they are taking away from that, is that their offense is going to want some points this week. And if Tampa Bay is not ready, then they could be, you know, the first victim of that offense really getting up and going in 2021.
I think their offense is going to want to score a touchdown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you think?
I think they're going to want to score a touchdown. So what better way to do it than against a division opponent, too? So, yeah, the Bucs got to be ready, despite Jordan Whitehead coming back, like we talked about yesterday's video, short little video. Check that out, guys. It's something we sort of experimented with, you know, sort of modeling it after James's show. But, yeah, gave a little injury update on Jordan Whitehead there. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they fare, because Atlanta's offense did give the Bucs fits last year. They gave him some trouble. And now, you know, with the injury report coming out, Jason Pierre-Paul went from limited participation yesterday to not practicing today. You know, he has a hand injury. I know everybody's going to be joking about it, whatever. But, you know, if he can't go, Joe Tryon-Shoyinka is going to get a lot of looks, obviously. But that's also a loss. You know, he's a very important piece of his defense. And like I said, it's just something about the Atlanta offense. You know, and you could say, oh, but they don't have Julio Jones now. Well, Julio Jones didn't play in either of the matchups last year versus the Bucs, and the Falcons still put up 27 points both times, especially in Atlanta. The Falcons really had a nice day, especially through the air. So it'll be interesting to see the game plan that Todd Bowles comes up with this week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, we talk about those matchups against Atlanta last year. Let's not forget the first game in Atlanta. The Bucs were down, what, 17 in the first half before they even knew it? Atlanta came out quick. The defense was not ready, and they were able to put plenty of points up on the scoreboard. I don't think the defense this week can have the slow start that they had against Dallas. I mean, obviously, Dallas offense is looked at as a lot better than Atlanta, but Atlanta is still one of those teams that can kind of catch you sleeping in the early part of the game if you are not prepared. Basically, the Bucs defense cannot afford the slow start that they had last Thursday. So when you talk about Todd Bowles and what he's going to be scheming up, JPP, a big part of that. We'll talk about him or any updates that we have. Of course, we'll let you guys know. But I'm just interested to see how they start. They need to start promptly, and if they don't, there is a very good chance that Atlanta can come out and get something going, and the Bucs are playing from behind for the first half. We've definitely seen it before.
Yeah, I think Atlanta, despite their struggles last week, they can still score points. Matt Ryan is a veteran quarterback, and we'll get into more in-depthness. We'll cover, you know, both the Atlanta offense and the Atlanta defense and see how the Bucs match up with both. But, I mean, you know, they have a veteran quarterback. Calvin Ridley's a good wide receiver. Kyle Pitts is an exciting rookie, even though you and I have both said, like, let's chill out on, like, the whole Kyle Pitts thing. But I still think he's a good player. And even, like, Mike Davis, I think, is, like, a better option than Todd Gurley was last year for him. So they've even upgraded the running game a little bit. So they definitely can still put up points, and the Bucs are going to have to be ready, because if the Bucs think this is going to be a pushover, then guess what? They're going to be the ones that are getting pushed over.
And I think the Bucs are, you know, past the point of going into a game thinking it's going to be a pushover. I don't know if they ever were good enough to be that team. And when they finally became good enough to be that team, they had a quarterback who's going to snap them out of that just like that. So I don't think that's going to be an issue for them. It's just, you know, making sure your communication is on point on defense, making sure everybody knows their role. With Jordan Whitehead coming back, I'm curious to see how up to speed he is with the rest of those guys out there. JPP, I wanted to talk about really quickly before we start to talk about what Atlanta can do on offense. JPP is a very interesting case because, like you said, he did not practice today. He was limited on Wednesday, didn't practice on Thursday. So obviously his status for Friday is going to be pretty telling, but between you and me, I feel pretty comfortable that JPP is going to be out there, because, like, come on, dude, that's JPP. You know what I mean? Like, we saw him have some off days last year, and maybe it's just one of those where he really needed the off day, but I think even if he's limited at practice tomorrow, I think he plays. Like, that... You know, for him to come out before the season and say that he's feeling healthy as a horse and he's feeling as good as he did 11 years ago, I think he's in a good spot. I think he'll play.
I would bet he probably plays, but it's, you know, it's never good to have limited participation and then have no participation. Cartier Walker said, BA said, SMB injury could be season ending with, like, the like the shaking the head thing. So here's the thing. Bruce Arians really tried to cover all of his bases yesterday when he said that. Okay. You know, he said 4 weeks to season ending. Okay. That really narrows it down, Bruce. Thank you. Yeah. That really narrows it down. So he could miss the whole season, but he also could miss, you know, only a little bit of time. It's just, I think it's just Bruce Arians trying to cover it up. To if he tells you 5 weeks, and it ends up taking SMB 8 weeks to get back, then it looks like he's the bad guy and he's the one who lied. But if he tells you, oh, it could be season ending, and SMB comes back after 9 weeks, you're like, oh, okay, it's not season ending. See how he did that. So that's what that's about, okay? I'm sure they already pretty much have an idea of where he's going to be. And I think Arians actually went on a radio show either yesterday or today and said that he believes it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks. So, yeah, I wouldn't put too much stock in BA mentioning that. I know whenever somebody mentions season ending, it gets people worried, but I wouldn't put too much stock into that. So if you wanted to, Rhett, we could finally sort of get into this Atlanta offense and one that I was expecting to do a whole lot more last week, and they just didn't.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to talk about first with this Atlanta offense kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, the status of JPP, that defensive line, this offensive line for the Falcons. Well, you know, on a surface level, they are considerably worse than what Dallas put on the field, even though they were missing their right guard. And I think that's probably being kind about it, because Matt Ryan was not safe last week. And I know Philly has put together kind of an underrated defense, but this is the defending Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl champion defense. You know, it's one of those things where I can see it being a very, very long afternoon for Matt Ryan, regardless of whether JPP's out there or not. If he is not, let's say he's not, even though I believe he is, if he is not, I'm very excited to see what Joe Tryon can do, because obviously that's the guy who's probably going to step up the most in that slot, I would think. I mean, we know Todd Bowles has some different looks, so he'll move some guys around and do whatever he has to do. But Joe Tryon, a guy who in week one did not record a tackle, I don't think the stat sheet really did his night justice, because he had his nose in the play pretty much every single time he was on the field, it seemed like. He was just kind of maybe the last guy to the pile. But I'm curious to see what he can do. Even if JPP is out there, I'm curious to see what Joe Tryon can do, because he got a lot of work early against Dallas and then kind of feathered out. But I'm curious to see what he looks like. I'm curious to see what all these guys look like, because this is not a very good offensive line. And that's just, you know, always going to focus on the trenches first, and that's what I'm looking at for Atlanta. This is a huge, huge mismatch for them.
I'm going to be blunt. This offensive line sucks. Okay? This Falcons offensive line is terrible. They have a bunch of young players, and none of them are at the stage right now where they can actually make a difference. Okay? Maybe, you know, maybe in 2 or 3 years. Not now. Right? They got Caleb McGarry in the first round. They drafted Jalen Mayfield. Jalen Mayfield last week.
Jalen Mayfield, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Jalen
Mayfield is who I'm thinking of, where you know, he put out a tweet that said, listen, if you don't want anybody to touch your quarterback, you draft 77 or something like that. Right? Wow. He put out a tweet before the draft basically saying that if you draft me, nobody's going to touch your quarterback. And then somebody took that tweet and then put the picture of Matt Ryan laying face down and 77 just standing there with his arms in the air. That was pretty funny.
So his PFF grade, and I want to start doing this for offensive linemen. I know PFF grades aren't great, but they just do sort of provide some context on how a player's day was. His PFF grade last week, 28.8 was his total PFF grade. Yikes. His pass blocking grade, this is a accurate pass blocking grade that he received, 1.4.
Oh, no.
That was his pass blocking grade.
That's got to be – I mean, obviously it's the lowest end of the spectrum you can get, but those just strike me as historically bad numbers. Like, I don't know how long PFF has been grading plays like this since, what, the early 2010s, maybe, they came around?
Mm-hmm. Something like that, yeah.
But, like, I wonder what their worst grade ever is in different categories, because a 1.6, when you go on a scale of, like, you know, up to, I don't even know what their scale goes
It's 1.4. You were giving them 0.2. It's even worse.
God, yeah. That's what I hear for giving them some credit. That doesn't sound
and
very good.
He also committed 2 penalties. So he had a horrible day. So, okay, but the rest of the offensive line did great, right? No. Caleb McGarry was their right tackle, 46.9 Pro Football Focus grade. And then Matt Hennessy was their center, 52.7 Pro Football Focus grade, a 20.0 pass blocking grade. This offensive line struggled. And what is the strength of the Eagles defense? The front seven. That's the strength of their defense, and the Eagles dominated them. What's the strength of the Bucs defense? The front seven. So, you know, I think you could see a pretty rough day, and I don't know if this Falcons offensive line. This might be one of the last teams that I think the Falcons offensive line would want to see, and just the Falcons in general would want to see after a loss like that.
G Vegas in the live chat with probably the line of the year so far. He said Vita Vea is going to lift up Hennessy like a bottle of Hennessy and down him like one too.
Will.
You know, I said before the Dallas game, and I quote, like, there is no reason these guys on the defense should not be eating. And we talked about how they didn't get a whole lot of pressure. I know Dak was uncomfortable for the most part, and the pressure was there, but they just weren't able to hit home. That's because Dak Prescott can make a move on you and make you miss, right? This week, I will reiterate what I said, and I mean it 110% more this week than I did last week. There is no reason that these guys should not be out there making their money. Like, this is a mismatch on the offensive line for Atlanta to where everybody out there is just going to be struggling all day. If you line up Vita Vea one-on-one with the center, he's going to get to the quarterback. If you don't have an extra guy blocking Joe Tryon on the edge because they don't see him trot up at the end of the play, he's going to be getting after your quarterback. Like, there is enough athleticism on this D-line. And especially now that it's week two and they have a full 60 minutes of football under their belt, you know, you have to come out and start better than you did last week. That's for damn sure, because Atlanta is one of those teams, like we said at the beginning of the show, that can kind of get you sleeping if you're not prepared. But as this defense starts to come together over the course of the season, what, like the first 4 or 5 games before they're playing like 100% like they would like to play? This is one of those games where it's a little bit easier than the next one, because next week you got the Rams and you've got Matt Stafford, who has been balling, son. I know it's only been one game, but I'm very interested to see what he does this week. So, I there's no reason these guys shouldn't be getting after Matt Ryan all afternoon.
I mean, Dallas has some talent along their offensive line, even if they were missing their best one.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, they have some real talent, and the Falcons just don't. I mean, their best offensive lineman is Jake Matthews, and Jake Matthews is a worse version of Donovan Smith, basically. He's like an average tackle, pretty much. Like, we've called Donovan Smith an average tackle. You know, he's been playing ever since Tom Brady got here. He's been playing like an above average tackle. Hasn't been playing like an elite one, but has been playing like an above average tackle. I think Jake Matthews is like a average tackle. And if that's your best offensive lineman, you're in some trouble. And especially Matt Ryan, he ain't outrunning nobody. So let's get on to Matt Ryan last year, because I did want to bring this up. I thought this was interesting. Now, I will say, Arthur Smith is the guy there now, is the head coach. New play caller, new everything. It's all new. But Matt Ryan versus the Bucs last year had some success. Like, he really did. Week 15 was his best one. He was 34-49, 356 yards, 3 touchdown passes, and no interceptions. The Falcons did not commit a turnover in that game, yet still lost the game. And then week 17, a little bit worse, 29-44, 265 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Falcons themselves had 2 turnovers, but Matt Ryan had 0 turnovers against the Bucs. So in 2 games against the Bucs, he hadn't thrown an interception and also has not fumbled. They're going to have to get to him and get some fumbles or get some interceptions. It feels like forever since the last time they intercepted Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
I understand Matt Ryan's not a guy who's going to be a gunslinger, right, like that, and put the ball in harm's way. But at the same time, like, get some turnovers, you know, and generate. And also, he didn't throw an interception last week either. The Falcons, I don't believe, had a turnover last week, which makes their blowout loss even more impressive.
Was Carlton Davis in 2019 the last interception this defense got on Matt Ryan?
Yeah, I think it was. Atlanta? Yeah, I think it might have been. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when Carlton Davis kind of turned the corner.
That was the first game of this versus Atlanta that year. It was in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and then the last game was the last game of the year with the pick six. That was the last interception. I believe it was. It was Carlton Davis. So it's been what, three whole games that they haven't intercepted him.
Yeah.
So it seems like somebody's due. It definitely feels like somebody's right. due. Now I do believe the fumble though they did forced Matt Ryan to fumble in that last game. If you remember, Devin White scooping it up. So they didn't intercept him, but they did force him to fumble in that last game in 2019.
Okay.
So let's go on to – so I want to bring up, since we're talking about last year, I just want to bring up one more stat from last year, and that was Calvin Ridley versus the Bucs secondary last year. I'm only going to bring up week 15. Week 17, he did okay, but week 15, they couldn't stop him. 10 catches, 163 yards, and one touchdown. And like we said, this Julio Jones did not play. So it's not like, oh, all the attention was on Julio. No, he didn't play. So they're going to have to contain Calvin Ridley. And Carlton Davis struggled a little bit against Calvin Ridley last year. So that'll be an interesting matchup to see as well.
Yeah. I mean, he was in a similar situation with Julio not playing either of those games last year. So he was kind of their number one. But, like, this year, Calvin Ridley is Atlanta's number one wide receiver. So we're talking about stats, right? Let's talk about Carlton Davis, the last person to intercept Matt Ryan, for Tampa Bay, at least. Carlton Davis against Calvin Ridley for most of the game is a matchup that I'm pretty excited to see. Carlton coming off of a pretty strong performance against Dallas. I know that we talked about the secondary giving up, you know, 450 yards. But for Carlton Davis, he had three pass breakups, an interception, and then on top of that, a 13.9 passer rating when he was targeted. He is going to, go out there and basically decide if he can call himself the best corner in the league for the second straight week in a row. Because we talked about the confidence that these guys are playing with. Carlton Davis is right up here. And I don't know if a lot of people are recognizing the week one performance that he had against a pretty good wide receiver trio. But, you know, this week is his chance to kind of to keep that record rolling and to, you know, make sure people are noticing him in a positive light. I'm going to be watching him very closely on defense.
Yeah, he's going to be tasked with shutting down Calvin Ridley. And I'm not sure if Carlton Davis is going to follow Calvin Ridley. I'm not sure if wherever Ridley is, Davis is going to be. I don't know. I'm not Ty Bowles. We'll find out Sunday. I think it would be smart. You know, you put your best corner, especially when you're down a corner. You know, you put your best corner on the other team's best receiver. So that makes a lot of sense. So, but they also have a few new pieces that I do want to discuss here. The biggest one, obviously, being Kyle Pitts, who, like I said, on the show, we have been like, okay, let's pump the brakes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's a physical freak. I still believe he was one of the best players in the draft. And it's on an Atlanta team lacking Julio Jones, lacking a red zone offense. The red zone offense has been brutal last year. And then this year they had two tries. Their first two drives against Philly, I watched the game. They drove down right down the field on Philly, but they couldn't score. They had to settle for two field goals inside the 20. So their red zone offense has been brutal. Kyle Pitts, 4 catches, 31 yards on 8 targets. So very pedestrian day. And I think if the Bucs hold him to that, I think Todd Bowles would be very happy. Because I think a big part of the Falcons' game plan this week is going to be getting that big tight end involved. Arthur Smith, you know, his offense is predicated on a lot of two tight end stuff. And I think a lot of that's going to be getting Kyle Pitts involved this week.
And that was going to be my question to you was, is Kyle Pitts going to be a factor this week? Now, I'm not going to be starting him in fantasy this week, so he probably will, right? He'll go off for like 150 yards and 3 touchdowns. He'll have the greatest tight end performance in Atlanta history because I didn't start him in fantasy.
As long as the Bucs win, though, who would really care?
Yeah, nobody cares. I think Bucs are winning this game by 10. But
wow, spoiler prediction already.
Yeah,
man.
I guess maybe I'll clean it up once we get closer to the score prediction. We got to do the checklist and everything, finish this game preview, and then I'll evaluate how I'm feeling. Because I kind of like to do the score predictions off the cusp, right? Like right at the end of what we're talking about, maybe I can see how I'm feeling about this game. But Kyle Pitts, I'll tell you, dude, I do think that Atlanta is going to make it a priority, because if Carlton Davis has a day against Calvin Ridley or whoever they match him up against, right? Maybe he's out there just struggling to find the football. Kyle Pitts is going to be a priority for them. But I look at who's going to be on him most of the day. It's going to be big 5'4", Levante David, probably, when they man up. And I look at the way that 54 was able to hold his own against Travis Kelce in the Super Bowl. Now, we know this defense is not playing at the same pace that they were in, week 21 last year, I guess that technically was. So, I'm curious to see what kind of matchup that presents. I mean, Kyle Pitts is a rookie, but like you said, he is an athletic freak. So I think Levante David's going to be critical in slowing him down. But that's another one of those matchups on defense I'm excited to see, because I think Levante can do it. Like, if I have, you know, faith in anybody on that defense after all these years, it's going to be 54. So I'm curious to see how that goes for them.
Well, you know, one thing with an Arthur Smith offense is two tight ends, and it's a lot of running.
Yeah.
The Falcons are a team that have not run a whole lot in the past. Obviously, they had Dirk Cutter's offensive coordinator the last few years. And before that, it was Steve Sarkisian. It's just, it hasn't been a lot of running. Last week, 24 designed runs against Philly. Also, they had more runs than that because Matt Ryan, I think, had three scrambles that are considered runs. But actual, like, designed runs, they had 24 of them versus Philly last week. So he's wanting to establish the run. If I were Arthur Smith, I would caution against that, against Tampa Bay, because if you do that, and I mean, like, I watched the game and I couldn't believe what I was saying. It was a 3rd and 8. The Falcons were on their own. They were backed up on, like, their own 11-yard line. They ran the ball. They ran the ball for, like, a 3-yard gain, then punted. Like, what are we doing here? Like, are you serious? Like, you try to do that against Tampa, you're going to be done. So, Arthur Smith, I'm going to caution you not to do it, but also at the same time, go ahead, do what you want. See how that works out for you. But also another guy that I wanted to bring up is, it's always a guy I think is always one of those players that is a solid player, but is a very, like, niche player. Cordarrelle Patterson had 7 carries for 54 yards. Yes, the wide receiver Cordarrelle Patterson, they've been using them all over the place, whether it's Chicago or Atlanta. He kind of made some plays against the Bucs last year when he was with Chicago on Thursday Night Football. So I'm going to be interested to see how the box score against when he played for the Bears wouldn't really show it against the Bucs. But, like, if you watch the game, he made an impact. I believe he made a few plays on when the Bears kicked the field goal. To take the lead on that final drive, he made a few plays. So, and he looked good last week. So just keep an eye on him, you know. But, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if the Falcons' offensive line is going to give Matt Ryan or the running backs, whoever, Mike Davis or Cordarrelle Patterson, whoever it may be. I just don't think they're going to give him any time. And I will say real quick, the Falcons had over 100 yards rushing against the Bucs last year in Week 17, and obviously Matt Ryan had a nice day. That was without Devin White and Shaq Barrett. Both of those guys were on the COVID list at that point. So just to put it in some context, that was without two important pieces on the defense, which will now be playing in this game.
Yeah. And, I mean, we talk about Atlanta's offensive line and their run game. I know Mike Davis and Cordarrelle Patterson, you said, had kind of a nice game last week. 124 yards on the ground for them last week.
100 yards in the first half.
Yeah. So, I mean, Atlanta is one of those teams where they're definitely going to try a little bit harder to commit to the run. I think Dallas tried to run it 6 times and realized we're not going to be able to do this, and then relied on Dak Prescott for the rest of the evening. I just don't think Atlanta, their offense, is going to allow them to do that for an entire game. So we'll see what happens. But, I mean, if they want to run the ball, just like you said, bro, go for it. Do what you want to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to tell you what not to do. And what you don't want to do against the Buccaneers is try and run the damn football, because they are still the reigning, defending number one run defense in the NFL.
All right, Paul Heyman.
Yeah, and have been for 2 weeks straight. So, You know, I know Mike Davis can make a little bit of something happen back there. It seems like their rushing attack is going to be better this year than it was last year, but, you know, those designed runs are not going to fool anybody on Tampa Bay's defense. Talking about the Buccaneers, I think on offense, right? We've just about covered everything for
Yeah, Atlanta. I mean, there's not a whole lot. Obviously, on the Bucs defense, obviously people are going to be watching Jamel Dean. They're going to be watching how he fares against a guy like Russell Gage. And we'll see, you know, I even saw it a little bit in the chat here. There's like this like narrative that the Bucs secondary just absolutely sucks now for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, a lot of people think that that's what we said too, because they like to read the titles of our podcast, but not listen to them.
Right.
And then go chirp on social media about it.
That's 90% of Twitter. So,
right.
If it's not a juicy headline that they like, it's, you know, it's trash.
That's what gets the clicks, baby.
Of course. But, you know, it's weird because, like, you would think the Bucs secondary is, like, the worst. Like, do you realize Dallas's offense is legit good? Dak Prescott is a top 6 or 7 quarterback in the entire NFL. Like, it's not like they played some scrub offense here. It's not like it was Andy Dalton and the Bears going in.
It wasn't Taylor Heinicke and the Washington football team.
No, I mean, even though Taylor Heinicke played fine against the Bucs, but you know, people were acting like this secondary is just garbage, dude. If they were as bad as people say they were, no matter what the type of defense they played, however they performed last year in the playoffs, if this secondary was as bad as it was, they weren't winning the Super Bowl. So, you know, if it was as bad as people say it was, they weren't winning nothing last year. So, like, just relax. It's one game. Like, it's one game. Just chill out. Then that will pretty much conclude our defensive thing. It could be a massacre for the Falcons' offensive line. It's just, you know, if I were Arthur Smith, I would look at what Dallas did. The only issue with what Dallas did is that Dallas has a better offensive line than you, and Zeke's probably a better run blocker, or not run blocker, pass blocker, than Mike Davis is. So that could complicate some things. But if you try to establish a run, you're going to find out pretty quickly that ain't going to work.
Oh, yeah. Taking a look at the Buccaneers on offense, I know this is the moment that everybody's been waiting for. Whenever we can talk about Tom Brady, it is a good day on the podcast. But looking at this team on offense coming into this game, I'm curious to not only see how they start, but not even so much Tom Brady, who actually got himself FedEx Air Player of the Week for his baller performance in Week 1. Don't even worry about the 2 picks. None of those were his fault. He was surgical. But aside from Brady in this receiving core, I'm very curious to see how Ronald Jones goes out there and starts early. Head coach Bruce Arians said this week that Rojo was kind of harder on himself than anyone else was after his fumble. Like, he kind of, you know, put the towel on his head, sat down, and nobody really told him to get back into the game. Like, it seems like it was more so he was just very, very hard on himself. But regardless of the situation, BA came out and said that Rojo's going to be getting the start this week. These carries are going to be critical for Ronald Jones, and I'd like to see him do something. I'd like to see him not fumble the ball. I think that's a start, right? Not fumble the ball, and if it's thrown to you, just try and catch it. Try and get it, pick up a couple of yards.
I wouldn't even try it.
But for his confidence.
Why throw him the ball?
Yeah, don't throw him the ball. I'd like to see Gio Bernard get involved a little bit more this week. I know Bruce said that he has ironed himself out as the, you know, third down back, but I'd
it
like
doesn't
to
play
see,
on third downs.
I'd like to see Gio Bernard get a little bit more involved this week. But Ronald Jones, man, let's talk about it. I think these carries are very critical for Ronald Jones, not only for his confidence, but his position in that running back room. I'd like to see him establish himself as the starter going forward this week. I know we'll still get the rotation throughout the game, but I'd like to see Rojo with the first running back with the ball in his hands every single week. And I think some strong carries for him at the beginning of this week's game could really do that for him.
Yeah, you're definitely going to see. Like, it's not like, yeah, Jones isn't going to be the bell cow all of a sudden. I agree. He's the best running back on the team. He is, which makes it like even more frustrating that, like, you know, like, come on, man, just like the stupid stuff. It's almost like OJ Howard. Like, he'll do so many great things, but then there'll be one thing where you're like, come on, man, like, seriously, like, just clean it up, right? Like, you're not a rookie anymore. This is your fourth year in the NFL. Like, it's time to clean this stuff up. So, yeah, like I said, I still have faith in him. But, like, I wouldn't even attempt to throw him or Leonard Fournette the ball. The only person in that running back room I would even attempt to throw the ball to is Gio Bernard, because none of the other ones can catch worth it. You know what? It's awful.
Here is a sentence that I never thought I would say. I get more anxious when I see Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette get targeted out of the backfield than I do seeing Ryan Succop line up for a field goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time they threw to Leonard Fournette, I was assuming he was dropping it. After that drop screen, I assumed something horrible was going to happen.
And it's not even just the drops. Like, obviously the drops you can deal with, and as much as they suck and they stall drives most of the time, you can deal with it, right? But it's just the fear of a turnover. Like, it just scares the shit out of me. Like, it ruined Tom Brady's perfect game last week. And I hate to bring up TB12 again, but, like, Leonard Fournette doesn't bobble the ball. It's one less pick on his stat sheet. You know, I think he leads the NFL in interceptions if he's not, like, right behind Trevor Lawrence right now.
Yo, I think, yeah, Lawrence had three, right? We talked about that before the game, before the show. So Lawrence had three. It just feels wrong whenever they touch the ball.
It's scary.
It's a simple pass. It's literally a simple pass that, like, you're pretty sure they're going to catch. But even when they do, you're like, you're like, oh, no.
And when they do catch it, I feel like it takes them a year to, like, grab it and then look forward and then get ready to start running, right? Like, it takes them almost, a few seconds to catch it.
Almost like neither one of them are receiving backs.
Almost
like that.
I mean, I don't know, man. I'm not an expert, but.
So real quick, let's shift our focus to Tom Brady. And Tom Brady versus not necessarily the Falcons defense, but Tom Brady versus the Falcons defensive coordinator. Dean Pease is the current Falcons defensive coordinator. He was a Patriots assistant, I believe, from 2004 to 2009. Knows Tom Brady pretty well. He held Tom Brady's Patriots to 10 points in 2018 when he was the Titans defensive coordinator. It was Tom Brady's worst game of the year. Also, in 2012, when Dean Pease was with the Ravens, he eliminated Tom Brady from the playoffs with the Ravens when they went on that Super Bowl run. And also in 2019, DP's defense eliminated Tom Brady in his last ever game as a Patriot when Dean Pease was with the Titans. Tom Brady has struggled against Dean Pease's defense. One thing I will say, all those defenses that Dean Pease had a heck of a lot more talent than this Atlanta one does. And the offenses that Tom Brady was on also weren't nearly as talented as this. They were talented. Like, you know, 2012, he still had, like, almost like prime Wes Welker and, like, a lot of guys, you know. Danny Amendola wasn't there yet, but I forget exactly who was there. Like Shane Vereen, like he was still good back then.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, Brady had some real pieces back then, and obviously 2019 he really didn't. But like, Tom Brady has struggled against this particular defensive coordinator and this particular defensive scheme. However, sometimes just talent just outweighs it, man. And the Falcons just don't have the same talent on defense as those past defenses had. So I'm not very worried about this offense.
With another season comes another sponsor for the Cannon Fire Podcast. We are partnering up with PlayActionPools.com to bring some interactive fun to the sport that we all love the most. You'll be able to get in on the action with our PlayActionPools.com Football Pick'em Challenge, which is open to everybody. Here's how it works. Sign up for our contest, Believe Football Pick'em, at playactionpools.com, and then get your picks in each week. We're going to select the 10 highest profile games of the week between the NFL and college football. Select winners are going to have their hands at a plethora of great prizes brought to you by our guys at playactionpools.com. So again, go to playactionpools.com. and sign up for the contest, Believe, B-L-E-A-V, Football Pick'em. And if you plan on hosting your own football contest, go to playactionpools.com today. They have got Survivor, Pick'em, as well as a pretty cool sportsbook style concept called Build Your Bankroll. PlayActionPools.com, your new home for all your office sports pools, and another proud sponsor of the Cannon Fire podcast. I'm very curious to see the receiver core. One guy in particular, Mike Evans. I'd like to see Mike Evans get back in the mix this week, and I think he will.
He will. Yeah. I think that's the dumbest thing. People overreact. Yeah. It's like a yearly tradition. People overreacting to Mike Evans, to Mike Evans week one stuff. Look, guys, he had more catches and more yards this year's week one than he did last year's, and there's an extra game this year. Relax.
Well, whenever people talk about Mike Evans or any wide receiver for that matter, just kind of having a rough week, regardless of if it's, you know, he's double teamed the entire game, he doesn't get the targets, if he doesn't show up for your fantasy team, people usually start freaking out. And I think the easiest solution to that is by, you have your phone in your hand most of the time, go to google.com, type in Buccaneers roster, and just take a look at the wide receiver room, right? You've got...
Or the tight end room.
Listen, folks, like, just take a step back. Take a deep breath. I was a little concerned about Mike Evans after week one. I remember on the post-game show, I was like, man, you know, Mike didn't really look like himself out there tonight. There were a couple of passes he could have tried to get that he didn't. It's week one, and I was overreacting. You know what I mean? It was an emotional reaction right after the game. But now that we've taken some time to just collect ourselves and look at the situation that the Bucs are in, we have talked endlessly about the talent on this offense. I'm sure whenever you guys talk to your friends and start having a football conversation and you talk about the Bucs and you talk about this stacked offense, it's one of the things you talk about is that we have wide receivers for days. We have three wide receiver ones on this team. Mike Evans will get his, but I definitely think it's going to be coming this week. I'd like a big game for Mike this week because I just don't think there's anybody on the Falcons defense that can really slow him down.
Start Mike Evans in your fantasy league. Start Antonio Brown in your fantasy leagues.
Start all of them. Start Chris Godwin, AB, and Mike Evans. I don't have Evans in my fantasy league this year, only because I know that he's not the kind of guy who goes off every single game. So I've got Chris Godwin, and I'm sure as hell starting him this week.
There you go. I actually have Mike Evans. So, I don't worry. Like I wouldn't really be worrying about him. I think Antonio Brown is going to have a huge day. Antonio Brown in two games versus the Falcons last year, 16 catches, 231 yards, and three touchdown catches.
And that was like both of those games were in the middle of just that ridiculous run that he had at the end of that season. How many games straight was it with a touchdown?
Four.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not worried about Mike Evans. I'm not. I don't even want to really talk about that, honestly.
I think we're wasting these people's time.
Yeah, I really do. I really do think it's a waste of time talking about Mike Evans. He's like, yeah, he's like one of the best players. There's also other good players. Like, are you seriously going to be angry if the Bucs win, but Mike Evans doesn't get as many catches as you'd like him to? Like, are you kidding me? Like, do you think he cares?
Like, no. Well, if there's anything we know about
him. He's been losing his whole career. You think he cares?
He's been losing his whole career, and he continues to restructure his contract. If there's one thing we know for sure about Mike Evans, it's that he is the ultimate team first guy. Mike does not give a damn about his stats as long as the Bucs are winning every single week. He has said that before. He'll say it time and time again. But, there's still plenty of time. Also, the Buccaneers have 16 more games. If you really think about it, we got a full season's worth of games, right? So, these other wide receivers are just getting a head start on their 1,000-yard season. That's all. Mike will get his.
Yeah, he's always going to get his. He had one catch for 2 yards week one last year with one less game and still finished with 1,000 yards and didn't even finish that week 17 game either. So, like, relax. Like, relax. Anyways, moving on. I just have one thing in my notes here. It's Falcons pass rush with a question mark because, like, what pass rush? It seems like the Falcons are basically like the Saints with cornerbacks. It seems like the Falcons have been searching for a good pass rush for as long as the Saints have been searching for a good number two cornerback. It seems like the Saints just cannot find a second corner. And it seems like the Falcons can never find a pass rush. And it seems like the Panthers just can't ever find a good team. But the Falcons never, every single year, they never have a good pass rush. It's always an issue. They have one guy on the defensive line that, like, I consider good, and that's Grady Jarrett. Everybody else, it's whatever, man. Like, they're a bunch of dudes. Like, I don't think there's going to be much trouble. Unless,
they're just,
you know,
a bunch of dudes.
That's all they are. Like, you know, it just – dudes playing ball, I guess, you know, getting paid to suck. I don't know. But like, I'm not worried. I'm really not worried about, I'm more worried about the Bucks, you know, and we'll get into the checklist. There's one thing that I'm more worried about that's going to stop the Bucks. The Falcons ain't going to stop the Bucks. I'll tell you that right now. The Falcons are not going to stop the Bucks, but the Bucks can.
Yeah,
you know, the Bucks can stop themselves, but yeah, the Falcons very are true. Not. The Falcons are not going to stop the Bucks on offense. Maybe the Falcons offense has a good day against the Bucks defense, but as in terms of Bucks offense versus Falcons defense, it ain't happening.
Before we break this thing down and get to the weekly checklist to close out our game preview show, I do want to mention, I'm glad that you brought it up, but like the penalties, right? It's been a long time that we've had to talk about penalties coming into a game, because aside from, you know, Chicago last year, after that Chicago game, this was probably one of the most well-behaved rosters in the NFL. And when you have Tom Brady on your team, typically that happens. And sometimes you don't get calls that you should get calls for, but I don't know nothing about that. Let's talk about the penalties this week. You better believe that the Buccaneers have gone back, checked the game film, yelled at whoever they needed to make sure that they come out here and try to play a flawless game, right? No penalties is the goal. They were able to do it one game last year. I think they should be cleaned up in that area. Like, I don't think that should be a concern this week. For a team that knows when it needs to clean up the crap, that's just exactly what they've gone in and done, I think, this last week. I don't think we should be seeing any Bucks beating Bucks this week, because we definitely saw it last week and it almost cost them the game at a few times.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, like, still expect penalties. Like,
oh yeah, sure.
I don't really think it's fair to expect zero penalties, but
you can't. Well, for the Bucks, the goal is zero penalties, but
the goal for every NFL team is zero penalties.
Exactly, but you can't predict what kind of mood the refs are going to be in that day.
I mean, it's also the penalties, man. Like, sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes a guy holds. Sometimes a guy is pass interference. It happens. Like, you know, so sometimes they're intentional, but sometimes a pass interference call is better than a potential touchdown.
Yeah.
Sometimes a guy's beat so bad, he'll just grab the dude, and it'll be pass interference. Rather have that than just 6 points on the board. So now I guess we can get into the checklist. That was number one, penalties. Just going to go quickly over that. Just okay. Limit them. You had 11 last week, which was tied for the most in the Brady era. Not in the Brady era, really. A team that Tom Brady's on.
The Bucks
11 penalties. 11 penalties for Tom Brady's career. 11 penalties is the most penalties that Tom Brady teams have ever had. So it's tied for the most. And then the Falcons had 12 penalties last week. So they've had their own penalty issues. So I'm sure they've been preaching the same thing, right, about the penalties. So it'll be interesting to see how both teams play out. Two, use Giovanni Bernard how he's supposed to. Use him for what you signed him for. On third and 10, I should not be seeing Leonard Fournette out there. I shouldn't. G Vegas, I think, you know, under six penalties, I think that's a realistic goal. Oh, yeah. I think if you – 4 or 5, I think. Anything more than that is a little bit much. But under six, almost basically cutting it in half would be my goal for this week. Going back to Bernard, just, you know – why isn't he out there? Like, apparently Bruce Arians says he's 100% healthy. I know Bruce Arians doesn't always tell the truth. He doesn't have to always tell the truth, right? It's not like the media is not a lie detector test. He doesn't have to tell the truth. But if he's healthy, there's no reason he shouldn't be out there. So not just in a 2-minute offense, not just on a 3rd and 17 when you throw a screen to try and get better field position to punt. Like, get him out there, like, in, like, passing situations. Maybe give him a carry. Like, he's had experience carrying the football before. And then my last one is just make that Atlanta O-line just have a miserable day. Just make it overwhelming for him. It's going to be tough for the O-line to begin with, and they're going to sort of be like, oh, let's hope this goes good. By the end of the second quarter, by halftime, they should be saying, this is not going good. it should be a mauling. If it's not, I will be very concerned about this defense. If Matt Ryan sits back there and has all day and is able to find Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts, I will be very, very concerned about this defense, because not saying that Matt Ryan sucks or Calvin Ridley or Kyle Pitts sucks, the offensive line of the Falcons should not be able to give Matt Ryan that much time to find those guys. So if the Bucs pass rush can't get home consistently, that's a huge concern for me this week.
I like it. I like the energy. I think this is the most one-sided game preview you've ever done on this show. And obviously the confidence of being Super Bowl champs helps with that. But
I just don't think the Falcons are any good.
No, Yeah. Like, if the Bucs were not a good team, this is still a team that you should win against, right?
Yeah, like, this is if the Bucs were an average team, this is a team that you should beat, you know. And if you want to be, they got a matchup against the Rams next week. That game could potentially decide who's going to be the number one seed in the NFC at the end of the season. If you want to be the number one seed in the NFC, you can't lose a game like this on Sunday. You can't do it. If you want to be the number one seed in the NFC, even if you want to even win a division, can't lose to the Falcons. Not on home turf. Like, are you kidding me? Like, no, there's no way. You can't do it. If you want to be taken seriously as a team that's going to be the one seed and going to get home field advantage and going to win your division, just beat up on this team. Beat up on this team.
Yeah. They're definitely going to be the punching bag for the NFC South this year. So hopefully the Bucs can go out there and deliver on Sunday. I will wrap up the rest of the weekly checklist just with a couple here. Reiterating what you said earlier, get after Matt Ryan. There is no reason this defense should not be in his face for most of the afternoon. I understand that every now and again he's going to be able to make a play. He's not a slouch quarterback. He's going to get the ball out of the pocket pretty quickly, and he'll probably do that most of the day. But make it a problem for him, right? This offensive line is not good. They're not going to be able to hold you all day, and they're damn sure not going to be able to hold you every single play, because eventually they'll get called. I know Dallas kind of held us every single play.
That might be the only chance Atlanta's got, hold on every play. But that might actually be their game plan. Hold on every play.
Because they can't throw a flag on every play.
They can't do it every play. So if you hold, then you'll be able to play well, sure.
Yeah, I think that's just how some of these offensive lines prepare for the Bucs. Just listen. Go out there, do what you got to do.
I think that's how seeing all NFL games around the league, I think that's how most offensive lines prepare themselves.
Listen, go out there.
It's not a bad strategy. Sure. The refs are not going to throw a flag on
it. It's
going to
piss a lot of people off, but it's not a bad strategy.
Yeah, because the refs are not throwing a flag on every single play. Not happening.
Oh, the game will take 7 hours at that point.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing on the weekly checklist here. Start quickly. Make sure you are prepared. This defense cannot afford the slow start that they had against Dallas. I know the Atlanta offense is not as good, but that's the reason you should start a little bit faster. We also saw this Atlanta offense get up on the Bucs pretty quickly last year in their first matchup of the two that they had in 2020. So just be prepared. Start quickly. Be prompt. Make sure your communication is on key and everybody is ready to go out there and do their job. And the Bucs should come away with a win. Let's do some score predictions and get out of here. Drop your score predictions in the live chat. We'll read off a couple of them after we give ours. But I'll go first. I know I said that I have the Bucs winning this game by 10. At least 10. And I think my final score is going to look something like this. Tampa Bay Buccaneers 35. Atlanta 21. 21. I wanted to give them 24, but No. On the drive that they would have gotten a field goal, I think Carlton Davis gets a pick. So I'll go 21 for Atlanta. But, yeah, I got the Bucs by 14.
Okay, well, I have 38-21 bucks.
Wow. So
I'm not
holding back.
No, I'm not. Tom Brady's 9-0 against the Falcons in his career. He doesn't lose to the Falcons. You know, I saw some people were like, oh, well, this Atlanta offense can't put up any points. Look, they're going to put up points, okay? They're not going to put up just 6 points again. That's not going to happen, okay? They're going to score a touchdown probably. So 38-21, if you're a betting man, bet the over. I think Tom Brady's going to have another big day. I think Antonio Brown and Mike Evans are going to be in for big days. And I predict Antoine Winfield will get his first interception of the season.
Hell yeah, I like that. If you are a betting guy and you're looking to take the over, I know just the place to do it. Good sponsor of the show, betonline.ag. If you go download their app or sign up on their website, you will get an extra 50% bonus on your first deposit. Official sponsor of the Cannon Fire podcast. Brian Shaw says 41-23 bucks. G Vegas, the moderator holding it down, says 38-17 bucks. I like these score predictions, man. It should hopefully go the way that we think it will. I know we kind
of thought... If it doesn't, my expectations for this team will drop significantly.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see, but I think the Bucks should have no problem going out there and handling their business. As long as you come away with a W and advance to 2-0, that's all I care about.
Yeah. And real quick, when I say expectations drop, I don't mean I'm like, oh, the season's over. They're going to go, you know, 9-8. No, I just mean, you know, my expectations of being a top two seed, my expectations of winning the division, those chances to me will drop if they struggle to win this game.
If it comes
down to a Ryan Suckup field goal at the end, that is not good.
And to a lot of people that is not you and I mean, a lot of people who aren't even Bucks fans, the Bucks are the best team in the NFL right now. And I think they're going to have to play up to that standard until, you know, we can kind of temper our expectations or kind of find out what it looks like this season, because I don't think anybody really truly knows until the Bucks lose a game what that game might look like, how it goes down, whatever the case may be. But as of right now, the Bucks are the best team in the NFL, and they have to play up to that namesake, I think. So I get what you mean. I know that you're not going to expect them to, oh, yep, season's over.
I might.
Yeah, you might. I know how you get. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for checking out this episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast. All of our people holding it down on YouTube, Willie Beeman, the moderator, G Vegas, Brian Shaw, Chris Cole, Tapazio, I believe is another name. That's a new one. Neil is back in here as well, and anybody else that I may have missed. Thank you guys so much for checking out the show this week. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Best place to go for updates on the show, and of course, Buccaneer news as it happens. Speaking of Bucs news, as it happens, you can follow my co-host Evan on Instagram at Bucs_daily. You can also find him on Twitter at EvanNFL. And last but not least, you can find myself, Instagram, and Twitter at Redicus, RHETTAKUS. If you follow me, I will follow you back. After the game on Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be just about 7 weeks away from the first ever Cannon Fire watch party. That is going to be at Berry House Beer Company. You can see the shirt that I'm rocking. This is the best logo of all time, right? I mean, Berry House is a great name in itself, but their logo is literally a beer. say this five times fast. It's a bear holding beers, double fisting, just big ass mugs of beer. And he's got his little German overalls on as well. It's going to be a good time. We'd love to see you there. Week 9, the Bucks are playing Washington. November 14th, right?
It's week 10. Yep,
week 10. Oh, yeah, thank you. Week 10. But it should be a good time. We're going to be out there doing a pregame, postgame show. Our good buddy Mr. Bucks Nation will be out there. A couple of other guys you might know will be out there. So it really should be a good time. Our guys Wingbox going to be handling the food part of it. The best food truck in Tampa. I'm not even biased, guys. Like this, I eat a lot of food. All right, look at me. I eat a lot of chicken wings. I have had just about every chicken wing that somebody says is, you know, anywhere in Tampa where somebody's like, oh, these wings are next level. I got to make sure I go scope it out and try it, right? Guys, I'm telling you, it does not get any better than the Wing Box. I have been eating at Wing Box consistently since 2015. That was the first time I had this food truck, and it was their first year of operation. They were actually in the St. Petersburg World's Largest Food Truck Festival when that came around. I think 2015 was the first year they did it. That was the first time I had it, and I'm telling you guys, it changed my life, and it will change yours too. At the first ever Cannon Fire Watch Party, hope to see you guys there. But that's the show. Thank you guys so much for checking it out this week. We will talk to you after the game. Will we have a special guest? I don't know. We got to figure it out. I know we've been teasing a special guest for like 3 weeks now, and people are probably pissed off because I think we're lying about it. But I promise we're just trying to get the schedules worked out. I don't want to give up. No, I don't want to give away too much information. But this other person kind of has their own schedule. You know what I mean? They got their own stuff they got to do sometimes. And like, we just have to coordinate. And unfortunately, you know, the cards haven't fallen the way that we would like. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen soon. It will. But regardless of if they are there or not, we're going to talk to you guys Sunday after the game for our post-game show. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast, brought to you by Bet Online. I'm your host, Rhett Matthews, signing off from my co-host, Evan Wanish. We'll talk to you guys Sunday after the game. And until then, as always, go Bucks.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.